Father God, we want to be like Jacob, who said, I will not let you go unless you bless us. We want to be like Jabez, who said, increase our territory, enlarge the area of our influence. We need your wisdom and your hunger to accomplish these things. Your word says, blessed are they who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. May your spirit lead and guide us. We're starving, God. Some of us are half dead and we don't even know it. Help us not to be simple anymore, but wise. In the name of Christ, amen. Amen. Okay, so today, guys, we start a series of studies for the next bunch of weeks from the book of Proverbs that are going to be really, really hard not to stop at every one of them and wonder what that means. Reason being is because, sorry guys, these glasses got schmutz on them. Reason is, thank you, my love. Thanks, Mom. Reason is there's so many different subjects that are covered, whereas when you're studying the New Testament, for the most part, until you get to the end of the Apostle Paul's teachings, most of them carry one subject matter, and you have a cohesive thought. But what's going to happen here is this, again, this staccato, amount of thoughts that are going to hit you in so many places. And that's what's crazy about the Proverbs. Unlike the New Testament, which seems to have to digest in you, you can take these Proverbs one by one and apply them immediately to your life and have it change your entire life. You're going to see what I mean, because right now you're like, I don't really understand what you're saying. You're not making a lot of sense. Oh, I understand that. But when we get through it, it's going to be tempting for me. Thank you. It's going to be tempting for me not to want to stop at each other. Oh, this is where this affected my life here. Oh, this is what this did in my life there. It's going to be really tempting. I'm going to try not to, because you can go through the Proverbs and it could take you like 2 hours and not even scratch the surface. That is why, for some of you guys that don't know this, some of my friends and myself, we do a personal Bible study, and every day we read the proverb that coincides with the day. There's 31 days in the month, most of them, obviously, and there's 31 proverbs. So every day, the first thing I do is I wake up and I get the proverb of the day. Today's the 28th. I read the 28th proverb today. And I've been doing that now for the better part of 20 years, probably more than that, every single day. In 20 years, I haven't missed a dozen days. And there is not, without fail, there is not a day where I don't look at a proverb and go, man, I didn't see that before. Because each process of your life, each phase of your life, each new mood, you can apply a proverb. Last night, the men's study, you guys that missed it, you missed such a good time. Aside from the fact that we had Bespada subs, we went through 6 or 7 verses. And we just chewed on it and chewed on it and digested it and spit it out and chewed on it some more. It was fun. It was a fun Bible study. We laughed. It was better than cats. You guys never heard that joke? I laughed, I cried, it moved me. It was better than cats. Guess you gotta be over 40 and under 70. It wasn't a good joke back then either. There you go. So you guys that didn't get it, that did get it, you didn't laugh the first time you heard it. Chapter 10 of the book of Proverbs, you'll now understand what I meant when I said all these things. The Proverbs of Solomon. Everybody know who Solomon is real quick? David's son, greatest king in the history of the world, richest king, 900 wives, 300 concubine, the whole, yes, that guy. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Give me your attention. The first thing you're going to see here, with the Proverbs, unfortunately, you can't read them. You got to look at them. You got to stop for a second. The Proverbs are like this. I've used this before as the way God talks, and here's where it comes from. Any of you guys ever see when you go to like the dollar store or a kid's toy store, they got these little pills, and you take the pill out and you put it in water, and when the pill dissolves, a dinosaur grows, and what started out as a little pill is like now climbing out of the cup. And you're like, that's the coolest thing I've ever seen. That's the Proverbs. You can't just like read it. You got to soak it. And then it gets so big, you don't understand it. Like some of it's like, I feel it, but I can't. Like I've read Proverbs that I can't explain. I'd be like, I know what it means. Well, tell me what it means. I can't explain it. It's just, but I know what it means. I don't understand. That doesn't make any sense. I know it doesn't make sense, but I can't verbalize what it means, but I know what it means. I know I'm sounding like a babbling fool, but you will also sound like a babbling fool trying to explain if you've not read the Proverbs and tried to explain them to somebody. A wise son makes a glad father, but a foolish son is the grief of his mother. Okay, I could figure that one out. If I'm smart, if I grow up to be smart, my father's going to be happy. But if I grow up to be a fool, I'm going to make my mom sad. Right? Simple. That's another thing, depending on what version you're reading, depending on how you try to interpret it. Now, here's the thing with this, though. How do you apply it? Are you that son that's been foolish? Is it time to start being wise? Think about your relationship with your mother. I mean, I know for me, growing up, you know, by the time I was in my 30s and 40s, and my mom was living with me and my wife for a good number of years, and it was heavy on me every time I read this. Yeah, I knew I didn't grow up wise. I knew I was a burden and a drag to her. And it filled me with this weird anxiety, this weird heaviness in my heart. You guys understand what I'm saying? Again, we could stay here and go through this for days, just this one. But for the sake of time and for the sake of understanding, that you cannot, teaching this to you is like me throwing up on a plate and having you eat what I just ate yesterday. You got to do it yourself, man. You got to crack these open yourself. 2, treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. Now, you're going to see that more often than not. Again, I'm going to stop explaining to you everything, and we're going to read, but you have to understand the poetic way. There is what's called the poetic way. Now, what he does most of the time is he has two things that either complement each other, accentuate each other, or are opposites of each other. And it says, for instance, treasures of wicked profit nothing. Treasures of wickedness profit nothing, but righteousness delivers from death. What does that have to do with it? What does treasures of wickedness have to do with it? Well, treasures of wickedness won't get you anywhere, but righteousness delivers from death. You could calculate something, and he's saying, all the money in the world ain't going to buy you heaven, Jack. And now, everybody's response who's in the world, yeah, I'd like to see that for myself. Okay. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but he casts away the desire of the wicked. The Lord will not allow the righteous soul to famish, but casts away the desire of the wicked. Now, in case you're new to certain languages, the word famish is to be literally starving of hunger. But here he's talking about the soul. Your soul will hunger. The righteous soul will never starve. And the thing is, the more in righteousness you walk, the more you realize that walking in righteousness is what feeds your soul. Or is he saying that the righteous soul is going to get fed by God no matter what he does? There's no right and wrong here. That's the crazy thing here. So important to remember that. Anytime you see anything there about food and water, remember that the Lord Jesus was called the bread of life. He actually said that he was the manna that came down from heaven that fed the people in the wilderness. There's another verse that says Leviathan was broken in pieces and fed to the... So when it talks about food, the food of the soul, the food of the body, you always have to think of the Lord Jesus, and you will see him on every page of the Old Testament. Again, you could I don't want to dwell in any one of them because we've got a long way to go and a short time to get there. He who has a slack hand will become poor, but the hand of the diligent makes rich. There's so many verses that coincide with this verse, but let's stick to this verse itself because your mind will immediately trigger so many verses. What is a slack hand? That's somebody who doesn't finish what they start. Too much work ain't gonna do it. The opposite of slack is diligence. Somebody who will see it through no matter what. It's the craziest thing. My brother, God rest his soul, I'll see him in a little while when I get to heaven, but he always chose the wrong job to give his heart to. It's like, oh, I'm working in a call center. Bro, there's nothing wrong with working in a call center, but man, that lifestyle breeds such bad stuff, man. Most people that are in a call center want to get out of that call center. Okay, so then he became a used car salesman. Yeah, but then he got a job as he actually went and got a Series 7 license and became a stockbroker. Oh, I hate this business. There's old dirtbags in it.
No, I hate every one of those.
Were you a drug addict too? There you go. He always was slack with the things that bore no fruit. I was always diligent with the things that were dead end. Moved down to Florida, got straight for a couple of years, moved down to Florida, started working with me. We started expanding our business. Oh, I want to go on my own. Like, ugh. I got to make more money. Yeah, I know you got to make more money, but here's the thing. You got to work for more than 3 months to make more money. I got to have faithfulness. I got to have some roots, man. Got to have roots. He who gathers in summer is a wise son. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. In our day and age, you know what you would say? Strike while the iron is hot. Now remember, this is an agricultural and agrarian society, and he's literally using the... Solomon says, you know, you got a kid who gathers in summer when everything is at its fullest. That's a smart kid. The Lord Jesus, though, he put it this way. Now, keeping this focus on the fact that everything you could equate to the Lord used or said, some of the stuff He said directly. The Lord Jesus quoted Proverbs all the time. I tell you, lift up your eyes, for the field is white for harvest. Some versions say ripe, which is an incorrect translation. The field is white for harvest. He says, pray the Lord of the harvest that he might send more workers into the field. Agricultural society... In any society, they plant, they break up the field in fall. They re-break up the field in winter. In spring, they plow the depths and they put the seed in. Summer, the first harvest, early summer, the first harvest, early summer, get the food. If you've never had a garden, I have garden, you guys know I've talked about my garden, and here's what you'll notice. Some plants are prone to what's called bolting. Like the worst thing in the world is I want to grow cilantro. Cilantro is the most delicious little, you guys know what cilantro is? It's so good, but you have to get baby cilantro. You have to get baby basil. You have to get baby herbs because that's when it's sweetest. That's when it smells best. That's when it's, if you wait till it bolts, all the leaves become bitter. A wise son harvests in summer. What happens is with wheat, it's golden brown, and then it starts to turn white. And it's about to bolt, become bitter, fall to the ground, and die. A wise son harvests in summer. Guys, it's summer, Christian. It's summer. As a matter of fact, I would say it's late summer. The fall is coming, and we might be getting a free trip out of here, Christian. And then you're going to wind up wondering, why didn't I was so afraid to tell my coworker. I was so afraid to talk to my cousin. I was so afraid. And now it's too darn late. You guys see how many levels this thing hits at? The Lord Jesus was telling the apostles, man, I tell you, look out over the fields. They're white. The people are about to die spiritually. You got to get out there and get them now. We're at the beach. Come on out, guys. There ain't nothing going on Sunday night. You'll be home before 8. Continuing. I mean, look at the end of verse 5. He who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. You know, one thing I told my son his whole life, when men are working, you don't sit down. His whole life, I've told him, when men are working, you don't sit down. And when he was that 13, 14, 15 age and he didn't want to do anything, I'd look at him with that stank eye and I'd go, what have I taught you your whole life? Your brother-in-law is breaking his back and you're sitting down. When men are working, you don't sit down. Because he who sleeps in harvest is a son who causes shame. And may it never be said that we cause shame to our God because we falter before the wicked. May it never be said, man, I met this dude yesterday. I literally know this guy. I've met him one time or other. I bought a vehicle off him, and I went to see him yesterday. And he told me all of these, like, he started telling me, like, stupid stories about his wife and their intimate life. And I'm sitting there, I'm like, why is this guy telling me this stuff? And he's cussing with every other word out of his mouth. And the Lord says, you know, you need to pray for that guy. I was like, I'm not going to pray for that dude. Listen to him, Kurt. He just told me he had this thing with his wife. No way. And I just couldn't. Oh, I was like trying to block it out of my head. I'm just trying to leave, please. Hey, wait, I want to show you something, right? Oh, don't show me. I was almost out the door. So I did. I put my hand on his shoulder. Hey, man, let me pray for you. I put my hand on his shoulder and prayed for him. He goes, bro, that was a great prayer. Thanks a lot, man. I watch him fight back the tears. I was like, why am I always almost the son who causes shame? Why? I'm almost that son every day. You know what I mean? Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. I guess we have to interpret righteous. What's righteous? What is it to be righteous? Anybody? To do what's right? Living a godly life? Or is our righteousness from God? It's a free gift. So you could look at this now in two different ways. Yes, absolutely. Hey, walk in righteousness. Do the right thing. Don't screw around. Don't take advantage of people. Don't lie. Don't cheat. Or is this righteousness that covers our dirty garments, that washed our garments? Blessings are on the head of the righteous, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. The memory of the righteous is blessed. The name of the wicked will rot. Now, you can think about the people who have come and gone, and it's true. As soon as you think about wickedness, everybody says the same thing. Hitler, man, Hitler was the worst. His name will rot. You ain't seen anybody named Adolf lately, have you? Not too many people name their kids Adolf. Judas, nah, not a popular name this year. You guys are seeing this? There's so much here. I want to stop at everyone and just blah, and here, have some, you know what I mean? The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. Anybody know what the word prating means? It's literally foolishness of the lips, a babbling idiot. Somebody who just does not shut up, like me. The wise in heart will receive commands, but a prating fool will fall. He who walks with integrity walks securely, but he who perverts his ways will become known. Do you remember being a little kid and driving in the car? I've loved snakes and lizards and stuff like that my whole life. And whenever you drive down the highway, especially in Florida, you drive down 95 or the Sawgrass or the Turnpike, there's signs, billboards, there's open fields, there's lakes. Every time I drive by one of them, I look, God bless you, I look, oh man, oh, I can go out in there. I go, hey, slow down. I think that was a snake in the road. Stop. It's the most miserable thing in the world. It's like trying to turn it off is horrible. When I was a kid, the same. Everybody, drive, slow down, Dad. This is where we're at, guys. Right now, I haven't gotten through a quarter of the Bible study. And I see you guys are still, you're looking back. Wait, what was it? Well, I didn't understand that. It's going to be like that for the next 3 months, guys. I'm sorry. I'm not sorry. So if you have a question as I'm reading, feel free to ask. But do you understand? Each one of these is a Bible study. Each one of them is an entire Bible study. And now I'm trying to do 32 of them. 32 Bible studies in another half hour. Please, please, please chew on this stuff at home later on. He who winks with the eye causes trouble, but a prating fool will fall. Hey, didn't I just read that before? I guess he really meant it. He said it twice. He who winks with the eye causes trouble. This is one of the really cool things about, because I always wanted to make a cartoon of the Proverbs. Because you could take every one of them and make a visual thing out of it. Like, what would this cartoon look like? First scene, second scene, a guy. Next scene, he's fall flat on his face on the floor. Riley Coyote. Well, he didn't talk much, did he? Oh, yeah, he did talk much. It was Roadrunner didn't talk. The mouth of the righteous is a well of life, but violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Now, didn't we just read that too? And you're going to see this as a running theme. he repeats, because Solomon wrote that, he repeats the same proverb, some of them three and four times. And you're like, well, where did I see that? I don't remember seeing that before. His father actually did the exact same thing in the book of Psalms. You'll be reading the Psalms, and all of a sudden you'll be like, I feel like I read that before. You did. He used the same lines 20 Psalms ago. And he just took these little things, and you know what? That was so good, I'm going to use it again. Again, the mouth of the righteous is a well of life. Think about that a second. The mouth of the righteous is a, what's a well? How many of you guys live on a well? I live on a well. In order for me to get water, I don't get city water. I have to have a machine that goes down about 200 feet and it pulls water up. And unfortunately, because I live where there's a lot of coral, the water smells like vomit, dog vomit, mixed with cat vomit, in a diaper. Sorry. So I have to have a system. I have to have a chlorinator. I have to have a saltinator. I have to have a reverse osmosis. Some of us, for our mouths, need more than that. For the well that is in our heart. But here, Solomon, who is no holy roller himself, he said, mouth of the righteous is a well of life. When you talk to somebody, I think the greatest compliment you could ever be paid, for me as a Christian, when people go, I knew there was something different about you. And they find out I'm a Christian or they find out I'm a pastor. One of the guys at the gym today go, do I call you professor? Do I call you sensei? Do I call you pastor? What do I call you? And I go, Ryan. My name? Don't call me Reptile Ryan. Don't call me like Pastor Ryan. These are the things that I do. But what I am is what God made me. My parents named me Ryan. Please call me Ryan. Now, I don't mind if you call me Pastor Ryan. I appreciate the fact that you respect me. You don't. But please, don't call me. Just call me when you're cooking dinner. Violence covers the mouth of the wicked. Here's the one part about the Proverbs I hate. Stings like an ant. You ever get stung by an ant? There's these ants in Florida called fire ants. But here's the thing with a fire ant, in case you didn't know about it. It has a pincer. And it bites you with its pincer, and it cuts your skin open. And then it drags its little hiney and dips a little piece of acid in it. It's a double whammy. Whereas there's also these things called bull ants. And they got these big pinchers, and when they pinch you, it literally cuts your skin. Ow! But they don't put no acid in it. It just hurts for a second. You're like, oh, it wasn't so bad. Oh, I'm all right. That's the Proverbs right now. I come from a funny home, guys. Italian, New York. And it kind of bled over. It's like we're eating dinner, and I'll say something like that. If you don't eat that whole plate, I'm going to shove the whole plate down your throat. And my wife will look at me and go, honey, I'm not really going to do it. I just want her to eat. You don't talk like that to a kid. Why not? My father talked a lot worse. Great about saying how much worse I had it when I was. When I was a kid, my father used to, I could tell you stories. He would shove the food down my throat. His whole hand one time, he stuck down my throat. Things sometimes when you read the Proverbs and you have the opportunity to make a change and be wise or to be foolish and just keep going about your way. And I'm reading this and I'm telling you right now, it's like, I gotta clean up my mouth. And here's the weird thing about the Proverbs that really kind of, and you won't get this flavor of it until you've read them a bunch of times. although there's so many subject matters covered, you're going to see that Solomon seems to get stuck in a subject within a subject. Like when we get toward 15, 16, 17, he starts talking about lazy people, and like he does like 10 in a row all about lazy people. And then all of a sudden you look back, wow, the whole proverb was about that. And I didn't even realize it. Anyway, you got what I mean there. Hatred stirs up strife, but love covers all sins. This is one of my favorite proverbs that immediately, I remember reading this for the first time, and I was like, oh, I got that. Now, I have to tell you a story. When I was just a kid, and I remember, I had to be single digits. They had a newspaper. These big pieces of paper that you opened up and you read stories and stuff in it. And there was in one of these newspapers this thing called Dear Ann. There was a woman named Ann Landers. And people would write letters to her. Like this day and age, you want to talk to somebody, you could talk to them. If I want to get in touch, like I watch Tucker Carlson, I want to call Tucker Carlson, I just go to his Facebook page, I DM him. I don't even know the guy. Never going to know him. Unless Anita introduced me. She promised she would, but she didn't. You were supposed to get her phone number from me. I don't want to hear it. I don't want to hear it. You're not going to do that. You're not going to. Can we talk about it later? Oh, yeah. I understand. It kills me too. But back then, you actually had to write a letter. You had to get an envelope. Put the letter in the envelope. You had to take a stamp and put it on it. You had to put it in. And you had to read the paper every day wondering if they're ever going to answer it. So one day, my mother's reading Ann Landers. And she's trying to teach me how to read. I don't know why I remember this, but my memory is like that. And it said, Dear Ann, I'm about to be married, but my fiancé does something that drives me crazy. He eats olives and then takes the pits and spits them into the bowl, and they make a ping. Every time he ping, ping, and it drives me crazy. What should I do? And now as a child, I said to myself, get him a different bowl or something. I don't know, you know what I mean? Her advice was, break off the marriage immediately. This man will never make you happy. Break it up and stay away from him. And I read that and I said, Mom, why would she say something like that? And my mother, believe me when I tell you, not a Christian woman, not the wisest, very easily taken advantage of. I'm telling you, I don't know why I remember this story. She looked at me and said, because honey, if something so small is bothering her already, when they're married and on top of each other all the time, they're going to hate each other. And I didn't know then what I know now is this is the answer to that proverb. When you love somebody, everything they do. Let me give you a funny, for instance, story. When I first started dating my wife, the first thing you notice about my wife is she has a very tiny mouth. And I took her to Clamster's. Anybody know where Clamster's is? Going back 20 years ago, there used to be a restaurant named Clamster's. It's right on Military Trail in between, right up the block from your house. You remember Clamster's? It's a nice little restaurant. And she'd eat, and when she'd eat, she'd just... And she says, I'm sorry, I have a very small jaw, and I eat slow, and I just love watching you eat. You do? Love watching you eat. I'm just sit there. It's 30 some odd years later. Sometimes I just want to get it. Honey, can you please finish your food? Can you please finish your food? Honey, I've been finished a half hour. I got to go to the bathroom already. And you see? Again, that's a weaker version of what I'm trying to say. But when you love somebody, everything they do is great. When you hate them, everything they do just annoys the living snot out of you. This is what this verse means. This is so important. Now, how do you apply verse 12 to your life immediately? It's like, you know what? One of the hardest things for me as a man to realize, because I've never admitted to the fact that I was moody. Because sometimes your hate's temporary. Like, I didn't realize some things that I went off on my wife about, I didn't go off on her like 3 days ago when I wanted something from her. But now that I'm mad at her, she's looking at me, 2 days ago you weren't talking to me like that. Well, you're just doing this, you know. You guys understand what I'm saying here? This is the type of verse you have to realize. You got to apply this one immediately. Maybe you're mad because you watched something on TV that made you mad, and now you're taking that anger and you're applying it toward. Maybe something happened at work today. Maybe you didn't take enough time between the time you left work and you're talking to your wife or you're talking to your husband like they're one of your fellow workers and not your beloved spouse. Not the person you're going to have to lay down to next to, that you want to make dinner for you, who you want to take. You understand what I'm saying? And this is a really important set of verses to understand, to grow into and go, you know what? My love can't be temporary. And I have to let my hate be temporary. When you love somebody, everything they do. When you hate them, wisdom is found on the lips of him who has understanding, but a rod is for the back of him who is devoid of understanding. Oh, man. So much there. Wise people store up knowledge, but the mouth of the foolish is near destruction. You have to understand that word for store up. You know what it means? Put away till later. Wise people listen, learn, and wait till the right opportune moment to use it, whereas foolish people are You see that? Very interesting verse there. Wise people, they store up their knowledge. Foolish people just let it all. You know what I heard? You know what I know? This is what it. Remember the application? Here's the thing now. You can be what's called an elbow pumper. You know what an elbow pumper is? He's talking to you, honey. No, I'm talking to you, honey. The rich man's wealth is his strong city. The destruction of the poor is their poverty. Very, very interesting. Another thing he does is he plays hide and seek here. He does these symbolic little things here. Why is a rich man's wealth his strong city? Because rich people can afford everything, right? But a strong city is also a city hard to get to. So watch how many levels this works on. A rich man, his money keeps him from listening to anything because he thinks because he's rich, he's so smart. You see that? But destruction of the poor is their poverty. Do you know, if you're watching anything on TV and you see people robbing and all this other stuff, unless you've been there, you have no sympathy for them. Unless you know what it's like not to have money and not to have food. Like, I get it. I remember just, my thing used to be, we had this supermarket called Walbaum's. And now you guys, you young guys, don't even you, I remember, you know how they scan stuff? They used to not scan stuff. You used to bring your stuff up to the cash register. They used to look at the thing and they used to have to punch in 249. Beep. Next. 125. Beep. That's how I grew up. So I would go into the stores when I was 15, 16. I was living on my own at a very young age. Even before I moved out of my house, my parents were rarely there. I moved out of my house and there weren't no money. So I'd go in there and I would change all the stickers around. I'd go into Walbaum's and I'd take the stickers off of and put them on there. And the funny thing is, I'd have to find the woman. There was always, it was only women at the time that were the cashiers, who weren't going to tell on me, because they'd been there so long, they knew a gallon of milk is more than a dollar. But I put, you know, I mean, that's a little thing. By the time I got to 17, we were robbing houses. Didn't have no heart. I didn't care. No. Is you go hungry or I go hungry, you're going hungry. Zero. Compassion, zero. Zero. So guys, when it says that the destruction of the poor is their poverty, I get it. It almost destroyed me. My poverty almost destroyed me. And I know a lot of guys, I mean, I know they're still doing this thing. We got a saying in the street. It's called getting a dime for conspiracy. Getting a dime for conspiracy. Talking about doing the crime is called conspiracy. And the dime is 10 years. And I was in prison with guys doing a dime for conspiracy. Somebody said to them, hey man, can you turn a key? Easy, I got a guy that'll buy it. Boom, done. Coke never existed, customer never existed, purchase never existed. It's called a dime for conspiracy. It was sad, because a lot of it had to do with their culture. You know, they weren't just black. There was white guys from the ghetto, black guys from the ghetto, doing a dime for conspiracy. And that didn't happen in the nice neighborhoods. Those guys got away with it because they were good customers. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the wages of the wicked to sin. Now, again, you have to check the symbolism here. The labor of the righteous leads to life, the work of righteous. If you are righteous, your work is leading you to life. Again, but it's also a person who just works a job. It's leading to your life. There's so many levels you hit this on. The wages of the wicked to sin. When you do wickedness, what you're going to get paid in is your sin. You see? The Proverbs are just, they're so rich in imagery. The imagery of the, and you can't, you got to meditate on it. You got to sit and you're like, man, hold on. I've gone through almost 20 of these things already, and you guys, most of you are lost already. Wait, tell me more about that other one. I'm just trying to process what you're saying. I want to apply one of them to my life. Listen, if you could apply one proverb a day to your life, you're doing a whole lot better than most. Matter of fact, if you can apply one a week, your life's going to be changed. He who keeps instruction is in the way of life, but he who refuses correction goes astray. Man, you're going to see verse 17 as a running theme through the Proverbs. If you receive correction, you live. If you disdain it, if you hate it, if you don't receive it, you'll die. Over and over again. I have told my son-in-laws and my son, there's two words you never say to anybody. I don't care who it is. Two words you never say. I know. You don't know nothing. Oh, yeah, you should. I know. No, you don't. You don't know by process of the fact that you just said that. Never say I know. Those two words you never come out. I know. Don't ever say I know. You don't know nothing. We don't know nothing. Kids that are here, let me give you some other proverbs that are not in the Bible. A stop clock is right twice a day. We used to have these things called clocks, and they used to have hands. And even when the batteries ran out, if it was 11 o'clock, That clock's going to be right twice a day. Learn from everybody, man. Learn from your mistake. Learn from other people's mistakes. Learn, man. Learn. Always be the person. Never say, I know. Never. Never. You can write in your Bible, in parentheses right next to that one, yeah, but. Yeah, but. No, listen, here's the thing. If you do that, your wife, yeah, but. You're going to lose your job. Yeah, but. Yeah, but. Kids are so bad with this. They hate them. Whoever hides hatred has lying lips, and whoever spreads slander is a fool. Man. In the multitude of words, sin is not lacking, but he who restrains his lips is wise. The more you talk, the more you sin. The less you talk, the richer you'll be. The tongue of the righteous is choice silver, but the heart of the wicked is worth little. And you see how he does these things in pairs, and they accentuate each other, they complement each other, they contradict each other, but they always mean something to each other. The lips of the righteous feed many, but fools die for lack of wisdom. That word for wisdom there isn't the prototypical wisdom. It's the word heart in the original language, heart. For lack of drive, you're going to die. Because here's the thing. I'm giving you words tonight that could change your whole life. I'm reading these things here and explaining these things. I'm 56 years old. I've been so many places in these short. If I died yesterday, believe me, God owes me nothing. I'm trying to give you some words. And you go, oh, man, what is, how long is he going to talk? This is so friggin' boring. Listen, man, just focus in for 15 more minutes, and we're going to be done. And you're going to learn something that could potentially change your life for the better. That's the great thing about God. You're never too old for a U-turn. Never. I love this one. The blessing of the Lord makes one rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. When it's from the Lord, there's no sorrow with it. The blessing of the Lord will make you rich, financially, spiritually. If you hit the lottery and you spent it all and you owe money and your life is turned to you know where, guess what? It wasn't the Lord. Because the Lord is, his blessing makes you rich. And he don't add sorrow to it. Don't blame God for your troubles. It ain't the devil either. It's your own sinful heart. To do evil is like sport to a fool, but a man of understanding has wisdom. The fear of the wicked will come upon him, and the desire of the righteous will be granted. Now, that sounds like two completely different subject matters, except when you, oh, man, I don't even know how to explain this, but when you try to apply this, watch. The fear of the wicked will come upon him. You guys know what fear is? Fear is a spirit. Fear is a devil. And you could be in the same situation in two different times. When I had COVID last year, it's actually exactly a year ago, where I went and got tested for COVID. July 29th of last year, I went and got tested for COVID. And you know what my test results came back and said? Negative. But guess what? I had the vid anyway. They lied. They did. They still are lying. this crazy thing happened. Fear came upon me. And for 3 weeks, I was afraid. I'm going to die. I'm checking my ox. I think I'm having trouble. And if you know me, that's just not me. But this fear, this spirit, this devil. And I literally had to walk around my farm and I'd punch myself. Snap out of it! You're not going to die. And if you die, you're going to be with God. Who's going to take care of my wife? God will take care. I literally crying and screaming at myself and snap out. What's the matter with you? What happened to you? This spirit. I don't care who they are. I don't care how tough and strong they think they are. When a spirit of fear grabs a hold of your heart, watch the toughest of men fall apart. Watch the toughest of men. But, the desire of the righteous will be granted. Fear of the wicked, desire of the righteous. You're afraid to do anything when fear is upon you. But God knows what's in your heart and will give it to you if you're trying to do the right thing. And when it passes by and you shun that fear and you strengthen yourself, man, come what may, God. Come what may. You know, the only thing I ask you, God, don't take your spirit from me. After that, have your way. Not as I will, but as you will. Now, all of a sudden, these things are such positive, compliments for each other. When the whirlwind passes by, the wicked is no more, but the righteous has an everlasting foundation. That's pretty self-explanatory. As vinegar to the teeth and smoke to the eyes, so is the lazy man to those who send him. Don't be that lazy man. Don't be vinegar or smoke. I got this guy that works for me right now. His name's Bones. Half Jamaican dude, dreadlocks. Give the keys to Bones, he'd go anywhere. Austin sends him to the airport at 4 a.m. Hey, Bones, we got a shipment going out. I'll be there, no problem. It's a great, to have somebody you know. We had a shipment get stuck in Atlanta 2 weeks ago. Airlines wouldn't take it in Atlanta to ship it to Fort Lauderdale. I said, hey, Bones, man, you want to make an extra couple $100? He's like, what's up, boss? I said, man, I got this shipment stuck in Atlanta. He said, how far is Atlanta? It's about 9 hours. He goes, I'll leave right now. Let me pack a bag. Let me get somebody. Bones don't care, man. What a joy to have that guy working for you. Now, keep this in mind. Bones ain't the sharpest pencil in the box. And I mean that respectfully. Like, if he has to pay a bill or write a check, man, you got to walk him through. Hey, Bones, FaceTime me when you're there. I'll tell you. Oh, boss, I wrote one number on the check here. But let me tell you what. Call Bones anything you want, but that son of a gun ain't lazy for nothing. On the way, boss. Leaving now. Got it done. 4 a.m, no problem. That man ain't no vinegar, no smoke, no way. You with me? He came to me a couple weeks ago. Actually, a couple months ago. He said, hey, boss, I want to go to Super Bowl's in Tampa. Could I take a day off and go? I'm like, are you kidding me? You want to take my truck? Bro, you going to grow. Here's a couple bucks for a hotel, man. Behave yourself. Don't be stupid. Oh, boss, thank you so much. You know why? Because that man ain't nothing but salve and ointment to me. Because if it ain't him going, it's got to be Austin or myself or somebody else, Drew. Right? Is Bones like that, man? And what is he going to say?
Yeah. If I tell him to leave tonight,
What a joy to have somebody like that. The fear of the Lord prolongs days, but the years of the wicked will be shortened. Oh, goodness, there's so much there. I talked about this a couple weeks ago. Guys, when you walk with the Lord, it's the craziest thing. Your years, your days are, it's like your Sunday is the greatest day in the world, and I hate it all at the same time. I get up early in the morning, and I complete my study for the day. I do my prayer time. I do my devotion time. I come to church. I first take my kids. We go to Bronx Bagels most of the time. We go eat. Me and Austin, meet him and his kids, and meet my kids. We eat there. Then we come to church. We have our worship time. We have our prayer time. And we have our Bible study. I leave. I usually take my wife out to lunch, sometimes my family. Then from there, I go home. I try to get an hour of sleep in. And then clock raises up. It's 5:25. Austin, you're going to the beach? Okay, I'll pick you up. Get on the road, drive up to the beach. 6 o'clock. 6:15, we start, because that's the way it works. Do our worship on the beach. Sometimes we preach a message. Sometimes we're praying for people. Get home, it's like 8 o'clock at night. And now, I started something a few months ago. Before I go to bed on Sunday, I do a few sets. I just hit the garage and bust out a few sets. Just to keep things moving. I lay down Sunday night, 10 o'clock or so. Boom. Out. Done. Gone. Sleep. Can't wake me up. Nothing. But yet, every week it seems to go like that. But here he says, the years of the wicked, what does it say? You ever see an old guy who never got out of his 70s or 80s? It's the craziest thing. They're old and nasty and gray, but they're trying to still, like got the mullet or the rock and roll t-shirt. Like, yeah, that guy's years went like that, and he don't even know it. Can't, man, what happened to my life? I used to be. My dad was like that. My dad grew up in the 70s. My dad was in his late 60s, and he had a button-down shirt that was open to here, hairy chest, gold chains on it. Like, you know, Dad, the 70s are over. What are you talking about? Dad, you're wearing a pyramid, and it's hiding in the nest you call your chest hair. This was in style. It ain't no more, Dad. That and bird's going to come and nest in that hairy chest of yours. That it's kind of a crazy thing, you know. That Sicilian blood, eventually it takes you over. You guys see what that says, though? The wicked. The years of the wicked are shortened, but the days of the righteous are prolonged. Beautiful thing. Now, where did I leave off? The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. The hope of the righteous will be gladness, but the expectation of the wicked will perish. Expectation. What you expect to happen? My old man told me something a long time ago. He said, son, you need to go straight. This life ain't for you. And I was like, what are you talking about, Dad? And he said, you know any retired drug dealers? Ain't too many of them, son. They're the dead or in jail. Old wise guys die in jail. You want to be a wise guy? Expect to die in jail. Your expectation of what you have in your life will perish if you choose wickedness. But you know what you can count on if you live a righteous life? Gladness. Man, I can dig gladness. I can use a little gladness in my life. How about you? The way of the Lord is strength for the upright, but destruction will come to the workers of iniquity. I do not need to explain that to you. The righteous will never be removed, but the wicked will not inhabit the earth. The Lord Jesus put it like this: the meek shall inherit the earth, which is exactly the opposite of what you learn in the world. In the world, we say the squeaky wheel gets the oil. If I don't speak up for me, nobody else is. But there's a really cool proverb that says, and it's not a biblical proverb, it says, God oils the wheel that doesn't squeak. Yeah, that's cool. The mouth of the righteous brings forth wisdom, but the perverse tongue will be cut out. Ow. The lips of the righteous know what is acceptable, but the mouth of the wicked what is perverse. Here's another one of them things that's going to nail us. The lips of the righteous know what's to say. I have an old friend of mine from years ago. Hadn't heard from him in years. As a matter of fact, I know this guy so long. He went to prison about 2 years before I did. In 94, he went to prison for the same stupid thing. He imported some stupid alligators, crocodiles from South America, and he had bad paperwork. And he became a Christian when this whole thing went down and has been walking with the Lord ever since, 30 years. I went to prison in 97, 98 for importing tortoises. And I became a Christian, the same thing, through that same trial. While I was away, he sent me a Bible. I still have that Bible. I only hear from the guy every couple of years, but yesterday he called my phone. I was like, Rick? He's like, yeah, what's it, Ryan? Hey, I'm at this pet store working and they need a reptile supplier. Can you talk to him? I was like, for sure, man. Connection. And I just sent him a text today. I said, hey, brother, thank you so much for that hookup yesterday. I hope it turns out. If anything, you know, I'll kick back. And he's like, save your money, brother. And I said, hey, man, Lord's coming back soon. And he said, amen. And then I wrote in there, the last thing I wrote to him was, even so. Even so. Now, most of you guys, I say even so. Even so what? Well, there's a very famous Bible verse where the Apostle Paul was talking. And he said, I am, in his King James, I am betwixt the two. For one, I desire to be here in the flesh. It's more meaningful for you. It's better for you if I'm here, but I so desire to be with the Lord. And then he writes, even so, come Lord Jesus. So when I wrote to him, even so, he sent back to me, come Lord Jesus, I'm ready. Because the lips of the righteous know what's acceptable. We know what's good. When somebody says something to you that's overtly sexually innuendoed, the righteous lips know. Yeah, you didn't mean that the way it sounded. I understand that. But the mouth of the wicked, that's what she said. That's what she said. Everything. They know what to say all the time. They know, hey, I know what you meant by that. Isn't that funny? This is 2,000 years ago. You know how a guy asked me one time? He said to me, is there cursing in the Bible? I said, yeah, absolutely. He goes, yeah, where is it? And I said, well, it talks about wholesome talk versus unwholesome talk. Don't let anything come out of your mouth. Are you sure? Well, this is one of the verses that says, mouth of the wicked knows what's perverse. Well, what's perverse? When you say something overtly sensual, sexual, innuendoed. Don't do that. Yeah, but that's how I play. Maybe you should stop playing like that. He says to himself. Because I'm always messing with my friends with stuff like that. When I read this stuff, but I'm just playing, God. It's like I think God's up in heaven going, I understand, don't worry. I played like that with my friends too. No, I didn't. Listen, so he just finished the first real list of Proverbs since we started the book of Proverbs a couple of months ago. I cannot implore you enough to read them again over and over. Tomorrow, get up and read Proverbs 29. See if you can pull something out of it that you can apply to your life. Don't run from it. guys, you that have been a part of our church for any length of time, you see, and I mean this with all humility, with all genuineness, I'm a pretty smart dude. It ain't because I went to school. It ain't because I'm from a smart family. It's because I've been reading the Proverbs for 20 years and trying every day to apply them to my life and putting away the things that I could and putting in the things that... That's how I got like this. And I'm telling you, if you're there and you're like, man, yeah, I need that. It's right here. Take it. Take it. Start reading them. Start applying them. It will change. You'll get wisdom. You'll get happiness. You'll get riches. You'll get influence. You'll get peace with people. Anyway, I'm going to figure out a way to do this so it doesn't take so long and we can still all get it together. I'm going to figure something out. I'm thinking maybe next week we'll put the chairs in a circle and we'll kind of bounce ideas back and forth. And so here's what I want you guys to do. Next week's a prayer meeting. So you're out of luck there. But why don't you guys read a proverb? Read chapter, what proverb? What's next? What's 2 weeks? 11th? Read Proverbs chapter 11. Come up with one that you can give an explanation for. And when we're doing, no, that would be, that wouldn't be 11th. That would be next week. What am I talking about? We're going to be doing Proverbs chapter 11. I'm so stupid. I'm sorry, guys. Yes, we're going to study chapter 11 in 2 weeks. So read chapter 11. I'm still thinking the days of the week. So read it. Find one proverb that you like. You know what? When Ryan gets to that, I'm going to raise my hand. And let's do that. And I'm going to see if we can do that. Okay? If you're here, we'll do that together. All right? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word that is good to make one wise. I pray that anybody that's here that needed comfort from your word received it tonight. Anybody that's here that needed some correction and wisdom, and God, that just opened some doors in their eyes and hearts, their mind, that it flipped open doors that they've been doing something practically wrong. God, may it be your word that constantly changes us. Thank you, God, for these experiences you've given us. May they never, ever stop. In the name of Christ, amen.